Today for me is a very good day.
Yes, it is. It's a Monday here on the Andy and Amanda Show, September 12th, 2022. We've got Andy Kimball here in California. We've got Amanda Love that we're connecting with over there in the UK.
Yes.
There we go. Hi. Good day to you. Good day to you. And our listeners, good day to all of our listeners. We're 8,000 miles apart here on the Andy and Amanda Show, the only show in the world that actually connects live. Our two countries, Amanda, we're it. We are it. We are it.
I know, right?
Yeah.
I can't follow the logic on that at all.
No,
neither
can we, but we do it. It's somehow working. Folks, you're welcome to join us. But, don't get me started.
Here we go. Ready?
That number.
Which one?
Where do we leave off on Friday? Our Oh dear.
Okay,
here we go.
You can do it. I believe in you. Come on.
It's only Monday. Oh my.
I think we're just shaking off the weekend. I think that's the true essence of it.
I think we are. I think that's what we're doing.
Yeah.
Maybe we won't give out any numbers. We don't want people to join us anyway, but we should give
it.
Guess what the number is.
The number, 30330, 30330, or 303330.
That's my fave. I should give that out to people when they ask for my number. I should be like, 30330. I can't even say it.
30.
Yes. Oh my!
I don't know if that's
we miss you.
It's 515-605-9888, and that gets you into the show. If you are international, outside North America, you can still join the show live. And this will without dialing long distance. Some people say, "Well, how do we do that?" Well, it's pretty darn easy if you have a headset and a microphone type thing. That you can talk, communicate with us, obviously. You go to just email us at Andy. I'll get it. Email us at Andy and Amanda Show at gmail.com. Yes, Andy and Amanda Show.
We choose truth over facts.
That is true.
Yes.
AndyNewAndrewShow@gmail.com. Let us know you want to join the show. Say, hey, I'd love to get on your program. Just like that. Say, I'd love to get on your program. Then that way we'll know it's somebody emailing us to get on the show versus just somebody emailing us and saying how much they enjoy listening to us.
Absolutely.
Right?
That'd be wonderful.
Yeah, then we'll send you a link. Then look at your emails. We'll send you a link to get on the show. Click the link, and it's all menu-driven. It's really easy. You just click a couple things, and bam, on you come. And we'll get notice of it here, and we'll link you into the show. So we truly can communicate with our listeners around the world. We're in over 20-some-odd countries around the world. We have listeners chiming in at various times. Not every show, obviously, but at various times. We have folks from all over the world. Especially, China. China is now...
Oh, my goodness, yeah.
Almost 6% of our audience is in China.
Isn't that incredible?
Go figure that.
I'm very, very grateful to them. That is truly wonderful. Yeah. Absolutely wonderful. I'm overjoyed.
And quite frankly, it might have been a better pick than me, but she's first rate.
Yes.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. my. Yeah.
Welcome aboard. How's everything going in the UK? We talked at length on Friday, and I guess someone on Wednesday. We talked about the Queen and the King Charles and everything going on there and her funeral.
Yeah. It's still a huge event. It's literally every day up until the 19th. There's going to be some each day where the Queen is moved around and the public gets to pay their respects to her and... all that kind of jazz. So today she was in Edinburgh at St. Giles Cathedral, and they did a service there for her because obviously Scotland love her. She loved Scotland. So that was a big deal. And the King was walking behind the coffin, and that was quite a spectacular event. And he gave a speech at the House of Commons as well as at the cathedral. Excuse me, there are some dogs barking in the background.
They want to join the show. They're welcome to. Tell them to get on the microphone.
I know, right? Excuse
They're
me.
Welcome to get on. They're welcome
dog.
To get on. Yeah.
Would you like to get on the show?
Now they're quiet.
Wow.
Our typical listener. Yeah.
Yeah.
No difference than the rest of them. Yeah.
Yes, <that's> very true. So, yeah, that happened today. And then her coffin's going to be moved from there to various places within London. And like I said, the public will get to go view the coffin and pay their respects. And on the 19th is when her actual official funeral is, where she will be buried with Philip. Mm. So it's going to be an interesting time until then. I mean, that may sound awful when I say the word interesting. I don't mean it in a kind of joyful way. I mean in just, you know, this is a big deal, isn't it? So, and yeah, and I
it
hear
is.
Various heads from different countries and will be coming over for the funeral.
And the body as well. Here.
Oh, yeah, I like to think so, yes.
Yes.
Good one.
Yes.
You can imagine all these floating heads.
Yes.
Moving in. Oh, my goodness. Yes, you can head over in this direction. Oh, thanks very much. So that's going to be happening, and we welcome all countries to the UK, and we gladly have you here to pay your respects to the Queen, and thank you so much for doing that. And you know, I've heard so many people from all over the world say, oh, sorry for your loss, and it's a beautiful thing that other countries actually are feeling that kind of sympathy for her and for our people. So that's a beautiful thing. We appreciate that. Thank you guys. You know, you heard what I had to say on the last show, but for those who didn't get to catch the last show, you know, she was a dear old lady, very, very comical in her own way. She took part in many things on TV and radio, and where, you know, she had moments of humor, and she expressed that and showed that she was human and humble like the next person. And we miss her dearly.
And
but so, yeah,
she'll
be all over the media for the next several days. Yeah.
Yeah, 24/7. People will be coming through. Large, large crowds. As a matter of fact, they're expecting people to wait hours, even overnight, and expect airport type security if you are attending, planning to attend. And everybody is welcome to. Everybody is welcome to. It is open to the public. And I guess the last time they've had anything this significant regarding a member who was lying in state was. Who would that have been? That would have been the Queen Elizabeth's mother, I think.
Her mother, We called her the Queen Mother.
The Queen Mother, and that was back in early 2002. They had a couple hundred thousand people for that event. And this is expected to be quite a few more, I do believe. But it is open to the public in the 24/7, people waiting for hours to go pay their respects, and it's a wonderful thing. I mean, she deserves is entitled to all the respect and condolences that she's receiving from people and heads of state, as you said, and their bodies around the world.
I do believe that I don't know if I actually shared it with you guys. I don't know. I thought I had. But there was a video clip from, I think it was about 2002, actually, where the Queen, and it was the first time in history, she got her soldiers and the guards and, you know, all those people who play the instruments to perform the U.S. anthem. Mm. And there was thousands of people outside the palace stood there crying. And even news reporters that were broadcasting it live were very moved by it. And I hadn't seen that before until the other day. It popped up on my YouTube while I was looking at stuff to do with the Queen. So, it was quite moving. Very moving.
Yeah. She actually sang. Didn't she sing that? I thought, wait a minute, did she sing?
You know, I don't think I've ever heard her sing.
Yeah, I've got a clip of it here. Yeah, she sang
have?
It. Yeah. Mm-hmm. You want to hear it?
Oh, yes.
Yes. Yes.
Love
mm-hmm.
it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
What a voice.
Yeah, what a voice. Yeah.
I know.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Fantastic. Just a heads up to everybody, you can hear me. I'm trying to suck a sweet, so if it disturbs your listening pleasure, I apologize. I still got this cold. So I'm keeping everybody
aware.
Oh, yeah,
you were talking about that on Friday. That's okay, because while you're doing that, throat lozenges or hard candy, whatever it is there. I'm eating a bean and rice burrito.
Oh my goodness. I absolutely love burritos. Well, any kind of Mexican food, really.
Mm-hmm.
But
yum.
That's actually classed as kind of like a Tex-Mex thing because, interestingly, when I went over to Mexico, I was thinking, why can't I see anywhere that sells burritos, right? Because I'm like really craving a burrito at this point. And my lack of education, because over here in the UK, we don't have a huge amount of kind of like the Tex-Mex restaurants, apart from Taco Bell, and a few kind of traditional Mexican places kind of here and there. But in the US, of course, Tex-Mex is a huge deal, you know, with the food there. You can get all sorts of burritos. So that's kind of my dream to experience many of those. But anyway, so I went to Mexico, and I'm like, I'm craving this burrito. I can't see them anywhere. And I said to Bella, you know, I really want a burrito. Is there anywhere that sells a burrito? She said, oh, you probably won't find them here. I said, why? She said, that's pretty much a Tex-Mex thing. I was like, huh. Okay. I was disappointed.
We're going to pick up a caller now. I think, I forgot, I'm sorry, I didn't get his name, but I know 717, I think that's Western Pennsylvania. You can correct me if I'm wrong. But hello there, you're on the Andy DeMander Show. Are you with us?
Yes, I am. How are you two doing?
Hey,
we're doing great, thank
darling.
You. Thanks
we're
so much
great.
For joining the show. Yeah, how are you doing? More importantly.
Good. I'm in a little unknown town between Harrisburg and Baltimore. It's 717 is Central Pennsylvania.
Yeah. So let me ask you a question. Eagles or Steelers? You better say the right answer.
Neither. Thanks.
Okay.
Fair enough.
There you go. We'll take that.
No, I don't make a big crusade out of this. I don't support football anymore. Only I just couldn't do it after watching Concussion. But prior to that, I was actually a Dallas Cowboy fan. I was one of the weirdest Dallas Cowboy fans. I liked that whole division. When years ago, when the Cardinals were still in it, and except for the Eagles, because you definitely can't like the Eagles. I did also enjoy watching the Steelers, and apparently that, and for that, and many other reasons, I'm going straight to hell.
Oh boy,
that view is the right one.
Yeah. See.
I mean, I can say yins with the best of them. Are you too familiar with yins?
Yeah, I know what is. Yeah, I know. I remember Wiens. I mean, that goes. Yeah, explain.
Well, it's a really fast way of saying you ones. It's kind of the Western Pennsylvania version of y'all. So the way it comes out is yins. Are yins going to meet me at the restaurant, or yins going to pick me up?
Yeah, or if you remember, or if you remember down in Philadelphia, what was in South Philly? What was it? The steak place was it Pat's? Cheese on your cheese stick, it's wit, right?
Yeah.
Wit or without, W-I-T. Or, of course, Adrian. Yo, Adrian.
And what cracks me up about the whole Pat's versus Geno's debate with the cheesesteaks is that's a whole tourist trap. That's not where locals go. The locals go to the little hole-in-the-wall places on South Street, other places, areas in South Philadelphia. And honestly, when I go to Philadelphia and I find a little hole-in-the-wall place to have a cheesesteak, I kind of look over the sneeze guard. And if that grill is dirty, I know it's going to be a good cheesesteak.
There's this place in a suburb of Philadelphia called Bala Cynwyd. This place is located on Belmont Avenue. I was there When was I there? I was there about a month ago, and this place is called Mama's Pizza. They don't have pizza anymore, even though it's called, I call it Mama's No More Pizza. They have the most incredible, but yeah, it's called Mama's Pizza, and all they do is make steak sandwiches, and they're huge, they're big. And they're amazing.
Yeah.
And you're right. You know, you don't go to these commercial places. Like even the place on South Street, I think there's a place called Jim Steaks that burnt down. I think they're rebuilding it. But I'm from there originally, moons ago. And there's some great steak places. But you would never know them unless you really got to know a local or somebody who's familiar with the area. You would never know the local, like Carver's on 18th and Walnut's another great one. Carver's is amazing. Yeah, I can go on and make myself hungry here. Anyway,
well,
even though I am eating a veggie
burrito. The best sandwich I ever had was actually in Atlantic City. It wasn't a cheesesteak. It was a hot roast beef sandwich. There's a place called White House Subs.
Yeah.
And it's absolutely amazing. I was at the convention center, I don't know, 15 years ago for something. And I said to somebody, you know, where's there a McDonald's? I can go grab a burger. And she said, you don't want McDonald's. And I said, oh, okay, what do I want? She said, all the fast food restaurants are right there. She said, walk past them. There's a place called White House Subs. She said, but you have to leave now. They're going to open in 15 minutes. And as soon as they open, there's going to be a line.
Oh,
so
wow.
I took her advice. I walked over really quick. And there was actually a small line. They opened the door. We went in. And I said, I'm brand new. And the guy said, don't worry about it. He made me their large, which had to be at least 16 inches long. And there's no room in the place. You have to get along with other people because you're going to be packed in with a bunch of other people. And I ate this thing. It was way too much. I was completely, you know, overstuffed and, you know, felt like crap and in the carb coma and everything. But it was the best sandwich I've ever had in my life.
Oh, wow. That's delicious.
Atlantic City.
Wow.
I've heard of it. I've heard of it. Never been there. But there was this place called, I think, Tony's Bar and Grill, Atlantic City. That was out of quite a while ago. I think it's on Pacific Avenue. What's it called? Tony's? I think so. Anyway. Great pizza. Great pizza.
Now I'm going to be deciding what I have to eat when I get off the show. All these wonderful foods. Oh, man.
Yeah, don't get me started on food.
So, Amanda, accent doesn't sound like Brooklyn. Are you from outside the United States?
I am, darling. I'm from the UK.
Well, I wanted to make sure that before I offered my condolences. You know, obviously it's a solemn occasion in this period of mourning. Sorry for your loss. Thank you.
No, thank you. I appreciate that, sweetheart. It's truly a blessing to have people from overseas literally wish us the best and, you know, their condolences. And that's a lovely gesture, and we appreciate it. It's, you know, not everybody holds the same value towards the Queen or have any kind of warm feelings towards her. There are various opinions regarding the royal family here about how they do things and, you know, and the rumors that kind of go around, conspiracies and things like that. So, but there is a huge majority of people absolutely devastated by this. And it touched me very deeply losing her, more than I actually thought it would, actually. And, you know, she did a lot of great things for this country and for the whole of the UK and other countries too. So she was a beautiful lady, and she shall be missed very much. And I just hope that King Charles, which is weird to actually get used to saying now, as I'm so used to calling him Prince Charles all these years.
Yeah.
Right.
I'm sure he's going to do a fantastic job, and I hope he does the same kind of.
Well, he has good people around him.
Oh, sorry, sweetheart.
Is there any way we could get a movement going that he would abdicate and then William and Kate could actually rule? Because I could get my head wrapped around that a lot better.
I know, right?
Yeah.
You know, that's funny you should say that. And talking of that, you've heard of the philosopher Nostradamus, right?
Yes.
Okay, so there's a lot of things being passed around on social media, of course, which is a natural thing when any great leader or person dies. You know, there's a lot of rumors and things like that. So what is circulating at the moment is a couple of pages from Nostradamus' predictions. And one of them that was more modernly translated, I think, back in 2016. This guy mentions that the Queen will die at the age of 96, that Charles will step in to be king, which we all know would be the case anyway, at the age of 73. But it mentions that it's going to be a very unstable and uncertain time, as Charles, being as old as he is, that he will actually end up passing his responsibilities and duties onto one of his sons much sooner than people think. Not from death, but just by choice. I'm not actually sure if he's capable of doing that. That's something I would need to look into. I'm a bit, you know, a bit of a gray area for me. And
I didn't want to shock you when I first called in. This actually is Nostradamus.
It is?
And that's why I brought it up. Yeah.
Oh my goodness.
I can tell you all kinds of things. I can give you the over and under on the 2023 Super Bowl, whatever you need.
Oh, yeah, I'd like to hear many things. Yeah, yeah, whatever you want to share.
I think yep.
The Japanese are involved here.
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah. They might be.
How's that burrito going down, Mr. Kimball?
Yeah. Oh, the burrito's good, man.
Very well.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
I'm so jealous right now.
It's good. It's good. I may have to heat it up again a little bit, though, sitting here. But anyway.
Oh,
yeah.
I don't mean to sound rude, but what is your name, my darling?
Paul.
Hey, Paul, darling. How's things where you are?
Raining, which is no big deal. We kind of need it, but I work inside, so that's not an issue.
Oh, beautiful. It's been crazy weather, hasn't it, all over the place. We have some sort of tornado here in the UK. I think people were spooked by that because, you know, we're not usually an area of the world that gets a lot of unusual weather like that. We've had mini tornadoes, like just the tiny ones that form over fields sometimes and sweep across the fields, but they don't really cause much damage. So when we had news about this tornado, people were like, oh my God, climate change, oh my God. And then, you know, it coincides with everything else that's happening in the world, especially like the US with 127 degrees and drought and flooding and all those craziness that's going on. It's quite shocking.
It is. It's definitely weird. I'm a little left of center politically and a little libertarian of center.
Okay.
People claim that I'm a climate denier because I fully acknowledge that the climate is changing, I'm not absolutely convinced that it's been caused by humans or that it can be cured by humans.
Right. Okay. You know, I've heard that kind of information or opinion or, you know, whatever you'd like to label it as. A lot of people tend to think that it's not caused by humans. And in fact, there's science to back both ways. You know, the argument that humans are causing so much gases that will contribute to the gases in on the planet and the level of that rising, blah, blah, blah. And then other factors coming into play that actually it's nothing to do with humans. This is a natural cycle that's happening for various reasons. And like I said to Andy on a previous show, the planet has gone through so many transitions in the past, way in the past when we had an ice age. So climate has always been a change in the temperature of the planet and all these kind of shifts, radical shifts have happened before. So it doesn't surprise me that it's actually happening again. And, you know, how many humans were around back in the ice age? Not a patch on what is here now. So we can't blame humanity for that back then. So it's fascinating, really fascinating.
About a year ago, the UN came out with a massive report on climate change, and in the introduction, they said that it was indisputable that humans had caused it. And then I didn't read the whole thing. I read an article about it. But then at the end, in its conclusions, it said, so based on all of these facts and data, it's nearly unquestionable that humans cause it. And I said, well, see, that's why I have such a problem. Every time I hear a report about this, it starts out where there's 100% culpability on the part of humans. And by the time you get to the end of their report, they're saying, so you can see, it's like 95%. Now, I understand maybe 95% is terrible, but you started out saying there was no doubt, and you ended up saying there's a little bit of a doubt. And I'm screaming and yelling and waving my hands going,
yeah.
We don't really have a lot of data from a million years ago. When we draw those lines about temperature, they're curved because we don't know in 1,000,022 BC what it was like.
Yeah.
Today we have data for every single minute, and we can see, you know, the temperature went up a quarter of a point or a quarter of a degree or down a quarter of a degree, and the oceans rose or didn't rise. But I don't know what was happening months by months in the, I don't know, I can only think of saying the Paleozoic.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely, I agree with you on that. And the thing is about science as well is, as wonderful as it is and how accurate it is in most cases, it's not in all cases. We're still very naive and young as to what science can actually achieve and what it actually knows. So when they claim that they know certain things, you know, I get a little, I kind of smile a little because I think, well, we only know what you're investigating and the methods you're using. There's also other methods that haven't been discovered. There's also other methods that haven't been maybe tested in your trials or whatever you would like to term it as. So there's obviously a certain way of doing procedures and discovering certain bits of scientific evidence. So it makes me wonder how much of the scientific community actually come together and say, okay, well, here's all my data, and this is what I used to study it. Here's all my data, and this is what I used. And then bring it together and all work together to see how it all works with each other, and then face all those questions of, okay, well, I don't understand why this is this and that is that, and have the greatest minds try and work that way, instead of having scientists from various areas say, okay, well, this is the truth, and the other people saying, well, no, this is the truth, when we're all still very naive to what's there. I mean, look how they split open the atom, you know, and they didn't realize what was involved with that until it happened.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, like you said, there's no way to really gather that information from all those years ago. They can only go on what they've got right now and the methods they use to find that evidence. We pretty much go on what is in front of us and right under our noses. And it's a shame that we can't actually go back. But it makes me wonder how much of the past they actually take into consideration with the current events.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
That's where I'm coming from, too.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
And when I went to elementary school in the 1970s, and I remember teachers teaching science and saying, whatever the estimate was at that time, I think it was like that the Earth was 3.5 billion years old. Okay, fine.
Yeah.
And more recently, they said, well, based on this, this, and this, it's probably 4 to 5 billion. And when we're talking about billions of years, that's not the hugest correction. But if you can see that in the last 50 years, you had to make an adjustment in the way that you measured and analyzed data, can you look forward 50 years and say 50 years or 100 years from now, we may know something completely different? I'm not saying that the Earth is 8,000 years old, but just admit that these are not hard and fast facts. In the 1970s, they said we have to protect the Earth, we have to stop pollution, we have to protect endangered species because once they go extinct, they'll never, ever come back. And they always gave the example, I mean, year after year, about the blue whale. The blue whale was extinct. They told us the blue whale's gone. It'll never, ever come back. Well, whatever it was 5 or 10 years ago, somebody said, oh, there's blue whales still. How about that?
that's the perfect example.
And there was it's like a couple of species of birds that they've discovered recently that have like re-evolved. They had gone extinct, but now over like 100 years, they've re-evolved or something like that. And I'm not, I don't have any vested interest in an evolution versus creation debate, but I don't want scientists to keep saying that they have, not only do they have all the answers, but they have all of the right answers, and they're unchanging. They're absolutely proven facts when they change their facts.
Yeah. As a matter of fact, speaking of changing facts, this is just less than a week old, a huge debunked fact that there was ever a Big Bang theory, thanks to the exploration done by the new James Webb telescope that has looked out further than we've ever, ever, ever been able to before. Billions of light years away, and seen flat galaxies, smooth, not, I should say flat, excuse me, smooth galaxies, which would be, for various reasons, many of which are over my head and above my pay grade too, that would it be impossible to form, given a big bang that would be ever expanding, which would lead, you know, now there's speculation that, well, these galaxies are just always forming, like little pop, like putting popcorn in a microphone, you see in the microwave, you see the popcorn go pop, 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 you know, just it just forms and they go away if you keep it in there forever and burn away.
Yeah.
It's like galaxies that have been there for millions and millions and millions and millions and millions of light years. I mean, just so vast. I love going out at night or 3 hours in the morning just looking up. I've been into space and astronomy and the stars and and just look up and it's just you know, these, you know, it's unbelievable. It's mind-boggling. But now, because of the James Webb telescope, they're saying the Big Bang never happened. And there are probably some scientists that dispute, oh, yes, it did. Well, there's a whole bunch of evidence that it never happened. It never – imagine, because I just remember ever since I was in – like you said, you went to school in the – in the 70s, I went to school in the 60s, and I remember studying astronomy and going to the planetariums, and I was so into space. I wanted to be an astronaut as a kid. I wanted to go into astronomy and spent so much time studying, Big Bang, Big Bang, Big Bang. It never happened? What? Now what?
Yeah.
Now
yeah.
what?
Yeah.
Hello? Yeah. What do we do now? Uh-oh. You know? I mean, there's – you know, I don't believe in nobody's – snapped their fingers and all of a sudden we're here. I don't go for that. But anyway, but there's something, somehow, all these galaxies and planets and stars and clusters and solar systems and gases, that's the weirdest thing is, and this is probably beyond the scope of our brains to be able to grip, and that's probably why we need to reach outside to figure to some kind of higher force that did it all. We cannot grasp on the fact that maybe something was here forever, it never had a beginning. And I always say possible, because even if there was nothing, there nothing inherently is something. You can't ever have nothing. There's nothing. If you're defining nothing is nothing, you're saying it's something in the name of nothing.
Okay.
Go let that mind for a while.
I've heard somebody say many times that nothing is still something, because there's not been nothing. Although
you can't have nothing.
You say that, but you can't really have nothing as far as it goes. But
And that's also the same reason that we can never ever have a oneness. We can never actually be alone. It's impossible. There's always a connection with everything on this planet. There's a connection with something else. We can never ever be totally alone. I guess in the vacuum of space. But on this, there's always there can never be a oneness. There's impossible to be a oneness. We can only have a two-ness. Because even if you are in the middle of the Atlantic Ocean, when you know swimming around, treading water, you're connected to the water. When you walk on the earth, you're connected to the earth. You know, you're always connected to something. You can't be totally alone here. It's impossible.
Right now, I'm connected to the Ali and Amanda show, and I think it's absolutely amazing. But in terms of what you're saying, darling, that, you know, did you hear about the, please forgive me, I forget the correct name for the experiment, but there was an experiment done where they took a load of monkeys and they separated them into two groups. They put one set of monkeys on one island and the other set on another. And these monkeys didn't know how to do much, really. They were just monkeys, you know. And so this one group of scientists, they wanted to see if there was a connection between the how they responded to what they were going to do and if the other set on the other island responded from what they were doing on this one island. So I'm not explaining myself very well. So what they did was this one group of scientists with group number one of monkeys, they gave them a banana. They taught them how to eat this banana. And the monkeys on the other island all of a sudden started to do it all on their own without being taught. So they were trying to see if there was some sort of consciousness connection between this massive group of monkeys that they'd actually split in two from that experiment. And it's very fascinating. And there's lots of experiments out there that they've tested with consciousness. And still, to this day, they're only just admitting that there is a consciousness and intelligence. And I find that very fascinating with all the types of experiments that they've done. It's like with the power of speech and word, they would create these rooms where they would put plants and flowers in them. And in one room, they would speak over positive words of, I don't know, like saying, for example, "I love you, flower. You are so beautiful." And in the other room, they would speak profanities and more negative words over these plants. And mm-hmm. they were watching them grow. And the difference between the two was outstanding. The ones that had all the positive words and everything spoken over them were flourishing beautifully and growing at a rapid speed. And the other set were growing so slow, and the quality of their growth was very poor. And, you know, so those types of things blow my mind. There's so much more to this life and the universe than we can really contemplate or even look into. We don't really have that interest to go much deeper than what's in front of us, because we're so invested in how society is structured and then what's in front of us and all that kind of thing. We like being lost in social media. We like being lost on the internet and TV and all sorts of things that keep us occupied and feeling mm-hmm. good about ourselves, that quite often we don't venture past all these questions and go deeper with a lot of things. And I'm not disrespecting anybody who doesn't do that. It's cool if they don't. It's your life. You know, enjoy yourself.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
But
unbelievable.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm,
yes.
Yes. Mm-hmm. mm-hmm. Yes.
You know.
Yes. Mm-hmm. You bet.
Unbelievable.
That's brutal. That's brutal. That was so nice. It was so nice the way she explained that whole thing.
I know. Oh, I get the abuse. Yeah. I get it's abuse absolutely. All
no
the
respect.
Time, darling.
No
respect.
You know what I'm saying?
I know.
Hey, Andy, get real already. I'm like, get what? You know, huh? I just play guitar. You know? That's all I know. That's all I know.
Yeah, that's
you know?
Right.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's not
yeah.
what you know.
I'm as mad as hell, and I'm not going to take this anymore.
I'm not going to take this anymore.
I love these sound clips.
Go throw open your window. I want you to throw it open, lean up, scream as loud as you can. Yep. I love that
Absolutely.
Line. I love that whole scene. I wish that was part of public education.
Oh, yeah. Oh, my
right?
God.
Go
yes.
right now. Everybody go over by the windows. Everybody help each other out. Put the window up, lean out, and scream as loud as you can. I'm
yeah,
as mad as
I
hell,
wonder.
And I'm not going to take this anymore.
I
we
wonder
have a,
if we'd have less rage issues if we did that more often.
We got a question for you. We had a caller who wants to ask a question to the caller. Okay, wait a minute. We got a caller here who has a question. Let me connect here. Let me hit the right button here.
If it's my mother, I'm hanging up.
Here we go. Right button. Here we go.
You ever served in an infantry unit, son?
Yes, I have. No, that's not true.
No.
Ever served in a forward area? Ever stood
Whoa.
A post?
Whoa.
Have you,
hey.
Lieutenant Weinberg?
Whoa.
Deep down in places you don't like to talk about, you want me on that wall. You need me on that wall.
Yes.
Ted voice.
We use words Whoa. Like honor and courage. You use them as punchlines.
Okay.
I have neither the time nor the inclination to answer questions
Holy.
Of a man who sleeps under the blanket of freedom I provide and then questions the manner in which I provide them.
Woo!
Unbelievable.
That was so good. I'm so impressed, Paul.
Oh, my gosh.
Take a look at Kevin Pollak on The Rich Eisen Show talking about Jack Nicholson being an absolute cut-up on that set, goofing off, making faces, telling jokes, and the director says, okay, we're going to do this scene, and bam, he's immediately in Jessup. He's immediately in that character, and he's delivering these lines like bam, bam, bam. And as soon as they cut, he's goofing off and blowing raspberries and everything else.
Oh, cool. So what do I look for? Is that on YouTube?
Yeah, it's Kevin Pollak on The Rich Eisen Show. Do I have that name correct? The guy that was on ESPN?
Yes, Rick. Yeah.
And those walls have to be guarded by men with guns.
Yeah.
Absolutely. I just realized something, Andy.
Tell me.
Amanda outranks you.
What?
And this, gentlemen, is true. There is nothing sexier than a woman you have to salute in the morning.
Oh. That's another Colonel Jessup.
I will tell you, I do know, I'm a little weird. I do know a lot of movie lines, and I know a lot of lines from that movie because it is one of my favorites. The thing that I love the most about that is Aaron Sorkin wrote that screenplay on cocktail napkins while he was bartending.
What?
Ooh. Wow.
Really?
Yeah. Aaron Sorkin was bartending, and he would get an idea, and he'd scribble it on cocktail napkins and stuff them in his pocket, and he'd go home and type it together. And he put that whole thing together while he was tending bar.
Wow.
Yeah. Isn't that amazing?
That is amazing.
Give this man a beer.
Yeah. Cola beer. It's not cola beer. That's cool.
I love everything Aaron Sorkin has done. The West Wing spoiled me for television.
I have not enjoyed television
since that went off the air.
Incredible. What a show. Yeah. We have another caller coming in. This caller is in a rowboat, it says. Wait a minute. In a rowboat crossing the Schuylkill River. What?
Okay.
I don't know. Let's find out. Wait a minute. Hello, caller. You're on the Andy DeMander show. Hello. Are you on the river?
Hey, guys.
Hey, guys.
How are you?
Lisa, welcome back, buddy. How you doing?
I'm actually monkeying around out here in the wilderness.
Oh.
So I thought I'd give you a quick call. In the wilderness.
You're monkeying in the wilderness.
You know. I'm monkeying around.
Are you monkeying around the experiment that Amanda was talking about earlier, or?
Exactly.
Okay.
A lot of monkeys out here in these trees.
If you really are crossing the Schuylkill River, I believe that, because if you were on the Schuylkill Expressway, you would have referred to it as the Shortakill.
The Shortakill.
Lisa, meet Paul.
Lisa, are you from, was he being serious when he said you were crossing the Schuylkill River?
No, she's from Nebraska. North Carolina. South Carolina.
I don't think there's a Schuylkill River in Nebraska.
Wait a second, Andy.
I know. He's listing them off like a shopping list here.
Wait a second, Andy.
That'd be one. Yes.
Remember, it's not South Carolina. It's North Carolina.
North Carolina. There we go. All right. I knew if I laid enough of them out there, I wanted to be right. Yeah, there we go. Yeah, North Carolina.
He got there in the end, bless him. Love him.
That was close.
I'm on the Intercoastal Waterway.
Oh, you're with Miss Fryer,
Miss Fryer, Miss Roaster, Miss Capernet, Miss Stewart, and old Madam Hen.
Yeah.
The Chicken Sisters.
Yeah.
The Chicken Sisters.
Yes.
Oh my.
That gets me every time. You guys must think I'm absolutely crazy. Oh, my goodness.
My goodness.
We're having an amazing discussion with Paul about all sorts of things, from climate change
We're fixing all the problems of the world.
Yes, we are. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
In 1 hour, right?
Absolutely. Oh, yeah. It can be done. Only on the island. Yeah.
Well, if they would just listen to us, it would only take an hour to fix all the problems.
Hey, here.
Yeah.
You know? Yeah.
Exactly. Oh, my goodness.
So, Paul, where are you from? Or where are you at? Where's Paul from?
Hi, NSA. Why do you want to know where I'm at and where I'm from?
Because I might be watching you. You never know where. But right, Andy, tell them. They don't know where I'm at.
One second. Let me put on pants.
Who am I? Why am I here?
Lisa,
remember,
I'm
Lisa's
from
all over.
York, Pennsylvania.
Tell him, Andy.
Yes.
Okay.
He's from Pennsylvania, darling.
I'm from York, Pennsylvania. It's a little town between Harrisburg and Baltimore. There's a couple of things that we're known for: the York peppermint patty, which is no longer made here. It's now made in China and shipped in.
Yeah.
The Harley Davidson final assembly plant is here. And we claim to be the first capital of the United States because the Articles of Confederation were signed here.
This issue is under investigation.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
What? Well, I'm from New York, so as you can tell from my accent. So.
What part of New York?
So I'm between New York City and Belmont Racetrack. You know, home of the Triple Crown.
I was born on Staten Island.
Oh, Staten Island, really?
Cool.
Yeah.
Wow.
So I was born in Brooklyn.
Yep.
But I grew up on Long Island.
Neighborhood.
Elmont, Long Island, right by the racetrack.
Yes, sir.
What neighborhood in Brooklyn were you born in?
Williamsburg.
Oh, okay.
Mm. Isn't this fun, Andy, to listen to these two?
It is fun.
To New York. There you go.
Asking, she will tell you that's like the test. If somebody claims to be from Brooklyn or the Bronx or Queens, you just ask them what neighborhood. And if they go, they're not really there, but if they come out with Bay Ridge or Bensonhurst or Williamsburg or Greenpoint, you know that they actually lived there.
Yeah.
We used to perform together.
My parents were from Bay Ridge. You know, Dyker Heights, Bay Ridge, Bensonhurst.
Oh, my God. We're going to find out that we're related, aren't we?
Oh, we're not nothing.
Let me just grab a popcorn. Okay. Oh my goodness. She was good.
I don't know. Somebody got a show. I don't know.
Well, I love hearing this. I love hearing where people were from and their stories and things like that. I just, you know, I feel like one of those kids that sit on the floor with their legs folded. Yeah, tell me.
No coordination, no nothing.
Mm-mm.
Whoa.
There you go. There you go.
I see.
Yeah,
remember the one of the original colonies, of course. You know, the Dutch kids.
No. Thank you.
That's funny. Cool. That's cool, Paul.
Yep.
But I live in the South now. I live in North Carolina for about 30 years, so...
And you're on the Intracoastal Waterway.
Well, no, I'm not really. I was just joking about that. I'm going down the Delaware River. You never know where I'll be. No, I'm not. I'm actually in the middle of North Carolina. I'm not on the coast. So,
research triangle?
I'm in High Point, North Carolina, the furniture capital of the world.
I spent some time in Durham. I really like that. That was gorgeous.
Mm. The prediction I made proved to be accurate.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Okay.
No. So, yeah, I'm to the west of Durham.
What's the Durham? West. Oh. Okay. I can honestly say that I've not been to any of your places, you guys, all you three. I've, like, stopped in the U.S. for a very short time, and that's it. I've never been to any of your area of the woods, but
well, you
I
know you
got
to come to New York one day. You know, I've told you that.
I hear that. Yeah, I keep hearing I need to be in California and New York and all these wonderful places.
Forget about the rest of the United States. Just come to New York.
Oh.
The other 49 don't count.
Oh. Okay. Right. Okay.
We just let them exist because we feel bad for them.
Oh, I
you know,
see.
So.
Okay. So what is the reason for this? What is the reason that I should ignore these at 49?
Well, came in there in 1600, settled New York. Mm-hmm. You know, we've been around a long time.
Yeah.
You know, So.
But what prompted your move to the Carolinas exactly?
Don't ask me.
Like
ask China that question.
All right.
Do you want the God's honest truth, Andy?
Yeah. What
you want the God's honest truth?
Yeah.
Please.
Yeah. You can't handle the truth. Oh, no.
Yeah. Insanity.
You can handle the truth.
I lost my mind 30 years ago.
Mm-hmm. You lost your what?
And they decided to put me here. I got beamed up by Scotty. And I wound up in North Carolina. And I'm like, what? You know, I'm like, wait a second, Scotty, I didn't ask for this.
Of all the places in the world, they could have plunked you. They moved you somewhere else in the U.S.
At least they could have put me somewhere like Savannah. You know?
Oh my God.
At least I had to be a little beautiful. A little like one of the original colonies. You know?
Man.
Yeah.
Tell me about it. Tell me about it. Yeah, everything's going well on the East Coast. We're here in California. The weather finally broke. God, we had about in Southern California, we had about 9 days of temperatures exceeding 100 degrees. At least it wasn't very humid, but it was still hot as hell. And then over the weekend, there was a storm brewing way down in Baja California. It threw up some moisture where at least it got cloudy, but it was humid. I felt like it was back in New Jersey. Talk about Atlantic City.
Oh,
my Lord. Mm-hmm. And now it's kind of ending back towards the experience. So I got to tell you, now it's totally throw your mind.
You know.
God, now I know how. You know, Amanda, I got a new co-host now for when I can't make it.
Oh, fantastic. Thank you. That is spot on.
Oh my God, this guy's great. This guy is
great. You got two New Yorkers. Why do we need a Philly boy? Come on now. We got two New Yorkers. We don't need no Philly boy. Come on now.
Learn about.
Oh my God.
I couldn't resist it. Andy, I'm sorry. I really couldn't.
I'm having way too much fun on this
too
show.
Too good. You're too fun. Good. You're too good for the show. Too good. Too good. Too good.
Oh, man. I love it. I love it.
Yeah.
Republicans love it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Thanks, Trump.
Mm-hmm. Thank you.
So in terms of the weather, Randy, I'm glad it wasn't that humid as well, because if it had the both, like that intense heat and the humidity, oh my God, that would have been ridiculous. I mean, it is anyway.
So what's the fire situation out there, Andy? I know it's been bad out there with the fires.
Yeah, which is getting close, well, not real close to where I live, but closer to where I live. There's the rain and moisture we had over the weekend did help. But they're under control. The one, a big one, I forget what it's called, though. It's near Temecula, though, which is southern part of California, and it is under control and still burning, but not as big of a problem as it was just 4 or 5 days ago. And that's what we have here. You know, we have wildfires, we have some earthquakes every once in a while, but it's a magnificent state, and it's an expensive state. You get, you know, I sometimes walk around and knock myself in the head saying, I'm on a vacation. I live here. You know, it's a great place to be. A lot of people, you know.
So that explains why you're having moments where you can't think of what you're trying to say.
Mm.
You need to calm yourself. We're knocking yourself on the head, darling.
I don't believe that there really are wildfires in California.
No. No.
I don't believe that there are wildfires or earthquakes. I think that's what Californians tell people that live outside of California so that they won't show up. No, you can't.
How did you know that?
You can't visit this weekend. There's a really bad wildfire, and there's a chance of a serious earthquake. The whole coast could slip into the water. You can't visit this weekend, Aunt Phyllis. I'm sorry. I know.
How did you know that? You're not supposed to.
I know you've been dying to get out here.
You know? You're not supposed to know
fucking
that.
Fucking scam, that's what it is.
You're not supposed to know that, you know? You know?
Yeah.
I'll tell you.
Oh, I'm the Fadamas, dude.
Oh, yes.
Yes, he is. Did you hear this, Lisa? He's Nostradamus.
I knew you were going to say that.
Oh, yeah. See? Lisa has disappeared. Has she not? Lisa, have you
No, I'm here. I'm still here. You know, the monkeys are trying to get to me, so I have to watch what I'm doing here. You know, I'm walking through the forest, so,
Watch out for those bananas. I hear they've been throwing them around, you know? Go careful.
Well, Paul's...
Exactly. The wildlife out here, you never know what you'll see.
The prediction I made proved to be accurate.
Mm-hmm. It did. Thank you.
Yeah, that's what Paul said as well, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's right. You know, was I going to say, Amanda? Do you remember?
Oh, hang on.
What was it? Damn. Ah! I hate when that happens.
What?
Yeah. What were we just talking about? I forget what it was. Anyway, that's right. Not that
we're talking about
California and the wildfires.
And your Aunt Phyllis.
Yeah.
My Aunt Phyllis. Oh, my God, yeah. Thank you.
I'm here for you, bro.
So what's this empty nonsense about?
No. I'll tell you.
Oh, Lisa, we were talking about sandwiches. What's the best sandwich place in High Point?
Oh, don't even go there because there is no such thing as that. Not
oh,
in the
really?
South, you know, compared to New York, you know. No, there's really not a lot of good places around here. So I guess you just get used to eating it because you're here for 30 years. But I don't think there are any really good ones. I can't think of anything offhand.
No.
There's a guy in Florida who has a bagel restaurant, and he has, believe it or not, water shipped down from Brooklyn to boil the bagels so that they taste like New York bagels.
What?
There's
really?
Nothing like New York bagels. There's nothing like
that
in the world.
I heard that. There is a place, actually, now that you say that, Paul, in Greensboro, you know, because I'm, like, in High Point, only 20 minutes from Greensboro. It's called Lock, Stock, and Bagel, and I think they're from New York originally. And they got the locks and bagels, and you don't find that down here, you know, very often down in the South. So that place is pretty good. They got the Boar's Head meat, you know, and they got all the salads and all. It's like a deli, you know, like a deli in New York.
Yeah. In Los Angeles, there's a place on Wilshire Boulevard in Santa Monica called New York Bagels. It is the only place you can get bagels in Los Angeles. I mean, there's only one. And they're really, really good. Make me miss the East Coast. I'll tell you, I used to live on 80th. I had a place with my girlfriend. She's my wife. She was my girlfriend at the time. But we had a place on 80th between Columbus and Amsterdam on the Upper West Side. Unbelievable.
You cut tight completely then, darling. I don't know if everybody else heard that or it's just me.
Oh, that's because that was because they cued us in. I just got a bleep on the ear headset here that we have about a minute left. We got to go. So anyway, I guess we got to wrap up. I can't believe this hour went so fast. I can't believe how fast. This has been wonderful.
Oh, it's been so much fun.
Paul, don't be a stranger to the show. Anytime, man. You're terrific. Absolutely terrific. Pleasure having you on.
How often are you on?
Monday, Wednesday, Friday.
Thank you, Randy.
6 p.m. what time? 6 p.m. New York time. East Coast time. Your time. 6 p.m. Monday, Wednesday, Friday. 3 days a week.
Thank you very much. I had a blast.
Oh, great.
I
really.
I loved it. Nostradamus.
Me too, guys.
Yeah.
All right, Paul, you have a good evening. We'll talk to you guys later.
Thank
you,
folks.
Amanda.
Darling, calling in. Thank
Take
you.
Care.
Love you guys.
Love you
have
too.
A blessed evening.
Thank you very much. We'll talk to you soon. Hello, love. How are you?
Hello, love. I'm fantastic. How are you?
What a fun show.
I know. Absolutely.
What a fun show.
I've absolutely loved it.
Let's dive more into climate change and evidence, contrary to that, on Wednesday. And we'll talk about it a little more.
Yeah.
I think it's great to dive into because there is so much scientific evidence that regarding emissions of CO2 and regarding the byproduct of burning fossil fuels, and that all goes somewhere.
Yeah.
It doesn't just disappear and it's a non-factor. And we should talk about some of the science that supports climate change, and I don't. Well, I'm not. What do I know? The guitar I can tell you everything about. Outside of that, forget it. You know what I'm saying? But there's the only thing I can do is take in what I see. And I'm very into science, as you know. And I listen, I tune in, and do research, and look into these things, and blah blah blah. And anyway, so we should talk about that some more. But hey, and also I want to talk about I gotta look into it because I really didn't get a chance to but I just heard for the first time, gosh, I don't know, 3 days ago, and look, you can look on YouTube. As a matter of fact, you should look this up on YouTube. I don't know what the title of it is, regarding the Big Bang Theory, We Were Wrong. If you look under that, it might come up in your search responses.
Okay.
And let's talk about, well, we should talk more about that too, because that's fascinating to me.
Big Bang Theory, we were wrong.
It's a YouTube video.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, I found it.
You found it? Yeah, that, I found that. Yeah, if you could, if you do me a favor, can you, because I didn't quite understand it, would you please look at it and then explain it to me?
I'll do my best. Oh, my goodness.
Something about smooth universes or smooth galaxies. I don't know what I was saying earlier. Anyway, something like that.
I've heard there's lots of big bangs going on all over the world, you know. excuse me.
But. Yeah.
Bad word.
Yeah.
Yeah.
This is fun.
I'm going to
play a song that I wanted actually that I'm going to send to you, but I didn't have the right format. It's a tune. It's one of seven or eight versions that I found. I explored. You know, sometimes I just say Andy Kimball, and there's a bunch of recordings of my music that were recorded live through the years. On SoundCloud, on YouTube, on Shopify, or whatever you call it there. and so I wanted to see what are the versions of Killing the Blues there were, because I've been playing that song for quite some time. Actually, I haven't played it and performed it in a long, long time. And I found like eight different versions of me playing the song with different musicians, some solo, live shows, radio. And I'm like, man, I started hearing. And what I did was I played one, then I played the next. And even though it's the same song, they all have different foundations, expressions. It's the same song.
Oh,
it's so cool.
Okay.
It's very cool.
Yeah.
Like if you look at SoundCloud and you pull up Killing Blues. So I want to play, we'll finish after you kind of get us out of here. I want to finish the show with Killing the Blues. It's an old Rollins Sally song restructured and done and interpreted by me. So.
Wonderful. Okay, so I'm closing the show right now. Yes, yes.
Well, after you ask this question,
ladies and gentlemen.
Okay. Wait a minute, not that question. This one.
What? How long should sex last?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Did they just say how long did sex last? Just,
yeah.
My answer to that question is for however long you want it to last, you know, use your imagination and have fun.
Thank you. Okay, that being said.
Yes.
That being, our survey said, played Jeopardy. Where's our Jeopardy question? Yes. Yeah, get us out of here, then I'll go see if I can find this tune. Is this it? Wait a minute. Hold a second. Let me see if this is it.
Hello, I'm Johnny Cash.
No, that's not it.
No. Okay.
Okay, so on that note, thank you so much
to our wonderful audience for joining us and our callers Paul and Lisa for joining the show. So on behalf
I'm sorry, go ahead, didn't mean to interrupt.
Yes, you did.
Go ahead.
Yeah, sorry. So on behalf Okay.
I'll find it. Yes.
Are you done?
Yeah. They want me to be.
You know I'm gonna let the people know.
Thank you.
Yeah. Thank you very much.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. Uh-huh. Yeah. I'm sorry. Go ahead. Get down here. Yeah. Go ahead.
Oh man, you see what I have to put up with listeners. You see?
Just remember to get on the show. It's
the number 303-330 or 303-330.
Yeah. I love the
back those energy callers. That's all they did. You hit that number and bam, you're on the Andy and Amanda show. It's really easy. Yeah.
Or our world, at least.
Well, yeah, our world, anyway.
Okay.
Are we clear?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Well, I'm trying to work that out, actually. So, Shall I? Or?
Yeah, go ahead. Get us out of here. And then we'll hear Killing the Blues. Yep. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay. I promise. Because I got to eat this burrito, too. I got to eat this burrito. I got to heat it up.
Oh, my goodness. Mm-hmm. Oh, no.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So,
go ahead.
On behalf of the guy clearing his throat over there in California.
So any chemical seems to fall into things.
Mm. On behalf of our sound clips. On behalf of myself here, the stuffy, full of cold Amanda Love here in the UK. And let's say on behalf of our listeners, because they're always there supporting us, aren't you, my darling? So thank you so much for that. Have a great week. We will be back on Wednesday and here to entertain you and ourselves in the process. We shall see you then. So take care of yourselves, okay? Okay?
Yes. We'll see you Wednesday.
Yes.
Here we go. Take care, folks. Take care.